Against the Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with spaghetti and meatballs behind the glass. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess, and my gurus of gambling, my wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, and degenerate trifecta Harry, Brother Brian, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is going on, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
How you doing, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
That was a fun... Oh, sorry, I cut you off, Brother Brian, but you're the one I want to talk to the most about last night's game. Raiders, Chargers.
Rough night, Bry. Your Raiders, they showed some life. It looked like they were dead. They could, you know, tune out after 21-0. But then, all of a sudden, 21-7, 21-14. I saw them like plus 510 on the money line. I got excited about that and my plus 3.5. And they fell apart again.
Yep. I still feel sick. I couldn't sleep. I don't know. It was a weird game. I still feel like I'm shaking from it. You know, usually like you're down 21-0. You're just like, it's a give up game. You're done. I just felt like there was a couple key plays in that game that we really botched offensively, defensively. Gruden coached that game early on like it was the, you know, like a 1990s game. Just really frustrating.
But the taunting call was good. A lot of them aren't on, but this was a good one. This is, hopefully it sets some of these players straight of what they know, when they could celebrate, when they could drop a ball, and when they can't. Yeah, it sucked. And it sucked for us. We all had over everything. I think I had an adjusted over for Carr, like 315 yards. He ended up with 196. Even Herbert was nothing, like 222 or something. That was a bummer to watch.
Yeah, my pick was better. I had Edwards over 35.5. One for 4 yards.
We went over this a couple weeks ago, like who's going to be the last remaining undefeated team. And it's the Arizona Cardinals. I don't even know what the odds. No one jumped at it. You would have had to predict an upset over the Rams, which happened, and they beat the Jaguars. But what would you have gotten, like 15-1?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, to start the season, yeah, more than that for sure. Even just a couple weeks ago. Yeah, 15-1 for sure.
All right. Well, we'll push on. We'll be all right. We have a big show ahead. We're going to go over the baseball, the wild card games. You got that. You got the Yankees to look forward to tonight. Isn't that great?
Yeah, I guess so.
Poor Brother Bri.
The thing that really sucks, Al, is like defensively, I thought we gave up a couple big draws and run plays, but defensively, I think, again, we played really well. They kept us in it. They made some big plays, but... God damn it. We had some really questionable short yardage plays.
Yeah. Uglier than a Mark Davis haircut, some of those defensive plays right there. Like I said, we're going to go over baseball. Tyson Fury is going to join us. Well, he's fighting Deontay Wilder, T-Mobile Arena, Saturday night. We'll go over those odds. And we have some football to get to. So let's do that now. We have on FanDuel, they have who will be the leading rusher, or who will have the most rushing touchdowns. And all of a sudden, crowded field. Well, I guess after week 4 it would be crowded, but it's fun to look at.
All right, let's take a look at some of these. I mean, it's endless with FanDuel. FanDuel.com/against all odds. All your betting needs are taken care of there. But they have props out for regular season rushing touchdowns. And I'm not just trying to get under Harry's skin, but Sam Darnold leads, the leader of the clubhouse, with 5 rushing touchdowns. We're going to try to pick a winner here. Derrick Henry, Connor for Arizona, and Zeke have 4. I'm looking at the numbers here. Henry favored plus 220. Zeke and Chubb 6-1. Darnold 40-1, Harry. You should bet Darnold. Just do it. That's a fun bet. Darnold to have the most rushing touchdowns.
Thanks a lot, Dallas, for allowing two. First off, the first touchdown they allowed rushing, he ran the same play against the Texans. So Dallas did the fake to the running back and ran
Your
it in.
Cowboys defense stinks. They're not paying attention.
And then also gives up that 20-yarder. Yeah, come on, Dallas. I thought you were supposed to have this great defense all of a sudden.
They don't. And all those other defenses. That's just, Darnold's also rushing again. Good.
It's a great read. It's a great read by Darnold. He doesn't have to. He can give that ball. He sees where the defense is. He pulls it and he goes. It's just a great read. He's playing a very good quarterback. And he's only 23. Yeah. He's only 23.
He's a very good running quarterback. Okay, now. Yeah, very good running.
See, very sarcastic. I'm going with Zeke Parlay Kid. I think 6-1 is too high. I get it. Derrick Henry is going to get 30 carries or whatever, especially when their receivers are out. But Zeke is back. 6-1 is too high for a guy who has won off the lead. And let's face it, Darnold's not going to end up with 18 rushing touchdowns. It's just not like that. I'm going 6-1. He gets the ball enough. He gets the ball enough down low. The team is going to score a lot of points. I'll take it. I know you like that too, but you're going for a a long, long shot.
Yeah, I'm just going to take a long shot here. So, I mean, you know, really smart money is on Henry. I just worry about the amount of carries he's had so far this year. It's a tremendous amount. I think smart money is on Zeke. This team's going to put up a lot of points at 6-1. He seems to, you know, he's on that pace, Sal, where they feel like they're going to get him into the end zone almost once a game, right? I just feel that way about him. I'm going to take a guy who's under the radar now, but in the last week or so is starting to step up. He didn't even play in game one for a multitude of reasons. Just Zach Moss of the Buffalo Bills at 50-1 has scored 3 goal line touchdowns here in the last 3 games. Powerful back. The Bills, like the Cowboys, put a lot of points up. At some point, you don't want Josh Allen scoring on the goal line all the time, right? Last year, he had a bunch of touchdowns around the goal line. They got to protect him a little bit more. Singletary isn't really the back that's going to be the goal line back. I'm thinking maybe Zach Moss could be right in there towards the end of this at 50-1. I'll roll the dice on a guy that on a team that scores a lot of touchdowns and a guy who pounds the ball. And he did it in college, and he's starting to do it now.
Not bad. That's a good payday if it wins. Brother Bri, you have a long shot one. This one annoys me, though, because I have Chubb in like 3 of my 11 leagues here. And so every time he scores and he flexes and he celebrates and everything else, but you're going
Hunt. Yeah, I like Hunt. I saw the odds of 41. I thought it was pretty good. You know, obviously Henry is going to be around at the end, but I think, you know, obviously rushing touchdowns versus rushing yards, you get a lot more value there. And there's a lot of variables with rushing touchdowns, but you may not like Hunt here because he's splitting carries, but he seems to be the man that on the goal line, right? Or late in games, you always seem to see him. He's really hard to stop late in these games, especially when they need a big run. Again, I this is just the type of guy I wouldn't be surprised if he scored a touchdown per week running the ball. So yeah. I just thought 40-1 was pretty great odds for him.
All right, Harry, you're going with the longest shot too. Guy, you have big plans to go through his trash, I think, living right there in the Phoenix area. Connor.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cardinals. James Conner, free agent pickup for the Cardinals. It's been fantastic at 20-1. He's got 4 this season. Forget in 2018 with the Steelers, he had 12. Cardinals have so many different looks on offense. They've been fantastic. They've looked to him so far in the red zone and inside the 10. He's gone back-to-back games with 2 touchdowns each in rushing, and it doesn't hurt that Arizona is averaging 35 points.
There you go. All right. This college football season. Now that was pro, but a lot of these guys played college ball and it's in full swing. You can make every moment more with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, all customers get a $10 parlay bet bonus. Just place a $20 parlay bet and get a $10 bonus win or lose. I could suggest it's asking me to suggest some teams. I would say maybe not Notre Dame and maybe not Wisconsin. So I would go the other ways. If the parlay is at least 4-1 odds, you could take advantage of this offer. Yes, easy to use, live betting, fast withdrawals, odds boosts, and specials every day. Some super boosts each weekend around the biggest local and national matchups. And if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code Against All Odds to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code Against All Odds so they know that I sent you. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan, 1-800-GAMBLER for New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Virginia, and the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789, or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia. All right, baseball playoffs. This is a fun one. Tuesday night. I'm glad. I can honestly say I'm glad the Mets aren't winning and I don't have to worry about this. I mean, you guys are going to take many, many years off your lives here watching this Yankees-Red Sox. It's in Fenway Park. The Yankees are still favored, -120, +102 the other way for the Red Sox. You got Eovaldi against Gerrit Cole. I don't know. For months, we were talking about this being a wild card game and it was going to be Sale against Cole, but no. Sale barely survived Sunday. Barely survived against the Nationals. And now we have to pick this game. I'm going to go over 4.5 runs for the Yankees. I know Eovaldi's good, but over 4.5 is +102. They haven't been scoring lately. They have 6 runs in 3 games. that weekend series. But they have 19 in three games versus the Red Sox. They went over 4.5 in 5 of the last 6 against the Red Sox. Judge 8 for 20 against Eovaldi. Rizzo 5 for 9. Stanton has 2 homers against Eovaldi.
Yeah.
I think it's a classic 4-hour game, 7-5 final. I don't know who to root for. Hate both these teams, but I'm going over 4.5. I'll root for that. Parlay kid, this seems just easy to you. Yankees, Yankees, Yankees.
Yeah, let's look. Cole versus Eovaldi. I know Cole has not been great as of late, but in his last start against the Red Sox, a little less than 2 weeks ago, he was very solid. I think he actually was dominant for about the first 5 innings, and then maybe in the 6th faltered a bit. Eovaldi in his last start against the Yankees, about a week ago, 7 runs in 2 2/3 innings. The Yankees had his number. I'm not a big Eovaldi guy. I love this matchup for the Yankees hitters. I think the Yankees tee off here. I think Cole is just better at minus 122. I'll take Cole all day at that number, regardless of how he's pitched over the last few starts.
You know, I will say, Harry, you didn't really defend yourself. Parlay Kid declared the Cy Young race over. And now I'm not seeing odds for it. But as of this morning, Robbie Ray, still a big favorite to win the Cy
Young.
Yeah,
he's got it. Ray's got it.
He's got it. Yeah.
I knew Darren was trying
I don't think, I don't think anybody deserves it this year in that American League. You know, win it with 13 wins. Or whatever Ray had, 13 wins on the season, you shouldn't win it.
Kind of like
13 wins.
Darren, kind of like when we talked about National League MVP too, like Tatis, Harper, still kind of weak. Either one
weak
who wins
this
it.
Year. Absolutely.
Stats aren't really that great.
I agree with
you. There you go. All right, Harry, what's your prop for this game?
I know Brian liked this one a bit too, but I'm going to take Rafael Devers to hit a home run at plus 450. Now look, his last 4 starts for Cole against Boston, Devers has homered in 3 of them. In those 4 games, he's got 4 home runs. I'm going to take Devers at home at plus 450 to hit a home run. He loves feasting off Cole's pitching. So plus 450 is a great value.
All right, Brian, you're going against what we say here. You think it's a pitcher's matchup?
Yeah, well, I do love the Devers one, but or
we could say
one.
Devers. Yeah, everyone says Devers. We don't have to make it like Harry's right about this.
Yeah, I know. Can't be right. But I do like that one because he's getting hot. He got hot this weekend too, so he's just had some luck here. But yeah, I'm gonna follow Jen's advice, which she told us on yesterday's pod. She seemed to like the under here. But if you watch the Yankees the last few games, you'll notice that their bats are in playoff form, right? Mm-hmm. And when I say playoff form, I mean weak grounders and strikeouts. Like I don't know if every at bat it seemed like there was a weak ground at the second base, but I think LeMahieu being out is going to hurt the lineup a little bit. Now, I know last time they were, they crushed the Eovaldi last week, but his stuff was bad. Like, for some reason, he wasn't throwing, I think he was throwing like 3 or 4 miles per hour less than he normally does. But aside from that game, he's been good. Now, Cole, on the other hand, has been a little bit of a wild card too recently, but I'd bet a little bit more that he's dialed in this one. And then the Yankees too. The Yankees have their bullpen when they've needed it recently has been pretty good too.
Yeah.
The certain guys that they need should be pretty tough. So they could go to them early as well. Might be a little bit different on the Red Sox side, but I just like the under in this game. I could see the Yankees struggling to score early in this game.
There you go. All right, Babyface, you want to jump in? Other than you have a pick other than just your allegiance to the Yankees?
I'm with Brother Bri. It's I like the under here. It's Garrett Cole gets a fresh start here, and he's been money in the playoffs. This is why they brought him in. I'm with the under, and also that I'm going to get tremendously drunk if they lose and not be at work the next day. So that I would definitely bet.
I understand. We have a lot of drunks here. Meatballs, spaghetti, a lot of Yankee fans. Roaming around the office here. All right, Cardinals-Dodgers is the other one Wednesday night. That's tomorrow. This is as big a line as you'll see in the playoffs for baseball, right? So it's minus 225 for the Dodgers at home. What, they won 106 games? Makes sense. Plus 188 on the comeback for the Cardinals, who were the hottest team in the league for a long time. It seems unfair. Maybe it is unfair. I think it's definitely unfair that the winner of this plays the, especially if it's the Dodgers, has to go and play the Giants. I definitely think they need to reseed.
Whole thing, Dodgers shouldn't even be a wild card team, Sal. They should be a top seed. They should be the second seed. Sorry, the whole thing is screwed up.
I agree. And it's not like a cyclical thing. I think they need to figure that out. And especially baseball needs help, right? You don't want to get rid of this Dodgers team this early in October if you don't have to. I'm taking the Dodgers in the over. You combine that, that's plus 180. Wainwright faced them once this year, gave up 2 runs through 8. I think it's a different story. We watch these Dodgers. They just belt. I feel like they have like 3 home runs a game when they need them. Betts, Seager, Turner, both Turners, Muncie. It's just rope after rope after rope. You have Gavin Lux. I think he'll be in there coming off the injury, banged into the wall. He's good against righties. Scherzer, I get it, is a little scary right now. 10 runs and 10 and a third. Yeah. But I kind of see the same kind of thing that I do in the Red Sox-Yankees game. I think Dodgers come back and win 7-5. Give me the blue and give me the over at plus 180. Bry, you're taking on. This is an interesting bet. I like this.
Yeah, I thought I was looking at, you know, they have the race to 2, 3, 4, 5. I think they have two to seven. But for some reason, I decided I'm going to take the race to 3.
Who scores 3 runs first, right?
Race to 3 with the Dodgers at minus 138. Look, I'm not sure. I mean, I think I'm with you here on the over, but I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, Scherzer is struggling in his last 2 starts, but you'll know right away whether or not he's on or off. But that being said, I don't think the Cardinals are going to score a ton of runs. I'm not even sure if they'll necessarily make 3 in this game, but it does give me a little bit of a cushion if Scherzer does struggle early on. I do think eventually the Dodgers bats will start lighting up maybe more of the middle of the game this game. But yeah, I think this is just a fun one to take here. Minus 138.
All right.
It's pretty good.
There you go. Parlay Kid, you think that's too juicy a line on the take back plus 188 for the Cardinals?
Yeah, I'm going to jump on the Cardinals here at plus 188. So they've been the best team in baseball for the last month, right? So I'm just thinking that carries over here. Wainwright is the what a veteran matchup here with Wainwright and Scherzer. A little different styles, of course. As you mentioned, Scherzer's been lit up his last 2 games. Wainwright's been okay. Been very good for the whole season and okay as of late, not dominant. But I look at this is a Cardinals team that's got a lot of veterans on it too, a lot of winning ball players. They play great defense. Sal, this team has 21 gold gloves in the field here. Now, 9 by Molina, but that still leaves you 12 from the rest of the team. They play great defense, they play great fundamental baseball. Year in and year out, that's just what they do. Goldschmidt's been very hot over the last month during this winning streak. Muncy looks like he's out for the Dodgers. That's going to hurt a little bit. Let's go with the hot team. Let's go with the hottest team, even though the Dodgers have been hot all year. But let's go with the hottest team in baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals, to pull, what you'd call an upset here. And kudos to the Giants for holding the Dodgers off the whole year. The whole year they held them off. And we gave him out at plus 330 to win that division about a little over a month ago.
Parlay Kid, this was insane, something I found. This was like a few days ago, so it's changed since, although they keep winning. So the Dodgers were 48-21 since the All-Star break. That's almost 700 ball. That was their best in a second half since 1953. They gained 0 games on the Giants over that span, who were 49-22.
Wow.
See? Was that worth it? Was that worth
it? That was worth it. It was kind of like that Mets stat where the Mets were in first place the longest of all time without finishing above 500. It was kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah. It was like that. Yeah, yeah. That one I wouldn't have spent any time looking for. All right. Braves, Brewers. These series are set. Braves at Brewers.
That's how you got it.
What's that? Oh, Harry. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Harry, you're taking an easier run at this. You're banking on Scherzer not being good again for a 4th straight start, and you're taking the Cards over 3 runs.
Over 3 runs, minus 106. You guys mentioned the stats. Scherzer's last 2 starts, 10 and two-thirds innings, 10 earned runs, 17 hits, 3 home runs given up. Cardinals, Parlay Kid mentioned, hottest team in baseball over the past month. Let's roll the Cardinals here to get over 3 against Scherzer, who's been struggling of late.
All right, so later in the week, I think this starts Friday, Braves and Brewers. Brewers are home. Brewers are favored in the series, minus 146. The take back for the Braves is plus 124. I'm going Brewers laying a game and a half. So I think they win 3-1 or 3-0 at plus 140. They're 3-3 against each other this year. And listen, the Cardinals got all the accolades in that NL Central for their 17-game winning streak. Brewers, I think, snapped it, by the way. But Brewers have been in first place since June. Corbin Burns, a 2.29 ERA. Brandon Woodruff, 2.56. Freddy Peralta, 2.81. Dominant all-star closer. Josh Hader, he has 34 saves out of 35. They have the pitching. They picked up Eduardo Escobar in July. Harry, from your Diamondbacks there. 28 homers, 88 ribbies between the two teams. Lorenzo Cain hit almost 330 in September. And this is all with Yelich underperforming. I get it. The Braves have Morton and Max Fried. They're going to be tough to beat. But I think the Brewers just win close games the first few. Like that. I know Parlay Kid, Brother Bri, you also like Brewers 3-1, which is a different way of doing this. Oh. Plus 410, Parlay Kid.
Yeah, I didn't know Brother Bri had that too. One thing, so you really hit on all bases right there with this pitching staff. Three very good starters, a good bullpen, a healthy lineup compared to the Braves. I mean, the Braves have battled all year without some of their best players, but I think this is the time of the year where it comes back to get you. The Brewers are 50-31 on the road this year, Sal. An actual better road record than home record, but this crowd will be fired up at home. And I just think this Brewers team, it's their time. I feel like they've coasted all year, right? They've just been in first place most of the year, just playing ball, winning games with this good staff. I'm a little worried about Peralta. He's not been as great as of late. And so let's have them win for our old pal, Mike Vassallo. Remember we called him Gil on the softball team, who's the head of media relations for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Okay. Right,
so let's get him a ring maybe this year, unless it's against the Yankees. Let's root for Mikey's Brewers.
Especially we're rooting for Mikey's Brewers. Yeah, I have a whole family out there, my wife's side, rooting for the Brewers. Yeah, it'll be fun. I've run out of teams to root for here. Brewers, 3-1. Bri, you have anything to add to? You also say they win.
Yeah, I like the Brewers. I mean, they do have that great trio. And like Parley Kid was saying, Peralta has struggled, but he's just got great stuff. It's possible. I mean, I just feel like maybe the NL East was just really down this year. Although I got to give credit to the Braves for pulling that out with some of their injuries. But even the Braves, again, like Parley Kid was saying, the Brewers have been great on the road. The Braves haven't even really been that good at home. Just think they had the better pitching staff, you know, like you said, with Hader. It's unfortunate their one other setup guy had gotten hurt too, because that would have helped. But I've been underrating Brewers all year long. And I don't know that the Braves bullpen has been pretty awful as well. So yeah, I did like your plus 140. I wanted to jump on something a little bit different here, and I think this gives good value. I think the Braves should sneak at least one game in here. So plus 380, I like it.
Yeah. Well, you could hedge if they're up 2-0, right?
Right.
To get the plus 410. I'm at plus 140. So I'm locked into 3-0 or 3-1. All right, Harry, I should tell a story. Harry used to be a big, big Giant Braves fan in the 80s, and Dale Murphy and Bob Horner and all those guys, right? Big fan. And because in Oswego, that was the only cable channel you could get, right? You had to put like hangers on your TV, and eventually somehow you could get TBS. You're going Braves, your old team, plus 1.5.
Yeah, I mean, great job by the Braves. You guys mentioned the injury for Acuña Jr. when he went down. Nobody gave the Braves a chance. It was all the Mets talk at the time. Sorry, Sal. It was all Mets talk at the time, winning the division. And I'm gonna go against you. I'm going to take the Braves plus 1.5, minus 172. Sal, you mentioned both teams for the series. Both teams were 3-3.
He's doing it again. He loves the minus 170s. Yeah. You find another, him a 170.
Another show, another minus 170. You're right. Braves much better offensively in terms of home runs, 45 more than the Brewers. I know the Brewers have a better pitching staff. Probably a half run better ERA wise overall, but I think the Braves are going to hang in there, win a couple of games, and plus the 1.5 is a winner at minus 172.
All right. The AL side, I believe this starts Thursday. Astros minus 124 over the White Sox for the series. I am going White Sox plus 106. Sorry, Jen Piacenti. Won the AL Central first time since 2008. Actually, Tony La Russa, manager, said you cannot predict any series in the postseason. So I don't even know why we're bothering here, but, we're going to take a shot at it anyway, Tony. I get it. The Astros won 5 out of 7 against the Sox this year. I'm a big Lucas Giolito guy. It's he and Lance Lynn for sure, games 1 and 2. And you got Dylan Cease and Carlos Rodon, who they're not sure of, still has shoulder soreness and some trouble there. So that, keep an eye on that. But I'm still going White Sox here, plus 106. Look, you could probably, it's probably goes 5, in which case you may get better odds waiting. But I'll take them now. Rendall's White Sox starting catcher has been electric since coming back in late August off the IL. Tim Anderson, dynamite player. Lewis Robert hitting 16 of his last 17 games. This is where I think the Astros get hurt. They ranked in the bottom third across baseball, allowing walks during the regular season. Not good in October. This was true of both the starters and the relievers. It's the year of the old guy, Parlay Kid. Tony La Russa, jump on board. Mickelson wins the U.S. Open.
Yes.
Belichick covered versus Brady a couple nights ago. Chalk one up, a series win for the White Sox.
Yes, Sal. I'm going to roll with the White Sox here, but I'm going to do it with the White Sox in five. They get it done at plus 420. You know, I personally think, I know that maybe the stats, don't really show it, but I think lineup-wise, I don't know if anybody, to me, has a scarier lineup than the White Sox when everybody's in that lineup. One through nine, that lineup scares me. I think they got some good power arms with Lance Lynn and Giolito, like you said, and Dylan Cease. I don't know. I think it's just their time. I think who's rooting for the Astros besides Jen at this point, right? really?
Come on.
We don't want to see the Astros. Enough of the Astros. And we want to hang on to the cheating scandal thing, right? They were only good when they were cheating. That's what I want to hold on to. So
I like that.
I think
too.
The White Sox, there's some juice here with this team. Tim Anderson, I think these guys are going to rise to the occasion. The power arms, the starters, and out of the bullpen will be factors as well. And the White Sox under Tony La Russa, the ancient one, get it done. They beat the Astros, and they play the Yankees in the next round.
There you go. All right.
Well, no, the Yankees wouldn't even play them. I guess they wouldn't, right? So
that's right. Yankees.
I meant
have to go,
in the finals.
ALCS.
ALCS. There you go. Yeah. Brother Bri, you like them also.
Well,
plus 106.
Yeah. So I've been on the White Sox all season. I think that was a pick I gave out multiple times between like the over wins and the World Series the last time. I do think they survived that early stretch of the season where everybody on their team was hurt. I mean, when you look at their lineup, they have a lot of great pieces there, and they have the types of guys that you want in the playoffs, right? I feel like Grandal, you want up a bet, Anderson, like those are the guys, Roberts, even like, I don't know. I feel like they have more guys than the Yankees do, even that just guys that I feel like could get a clutch hit in the playoffs. I do think the White Sox have, I think the White Sox rotation is a little bit better. I think their bullpen is a little bit better. I know we might be underselling the Astros here. A lot of it has to do with hate, but I could see something, you know, Field of Dreams wise, right? They pulled off that big win against the Yankees early in the season. It might just kind of be their type of year.
All right. Harry, you like the series to go long and plus 330 for the Astros. Pretty good.
Houston to win 3-2. Pretty good at plus 330. Astros have won four straight division series. But the White Sox still, I think they're going to take a couple games, got some playoff experience last couple seasons. Second best ERA in the American League this season. But the Astros, overall, best batting average and most RBIs in the majors. I think they get it done 3-2 at plus 330.
All right, let's switch to boxing. We have Tyson Fury joining us in just a few minutes. He is an overwhelming favorite against Deontay Wilder in the trilogy, minus 350, Wilder plus 250 on the comeback. First bout was a draw. I've been on the wrong side every time. I had Wilder in the first match, and it was a draw. I had Wilder in the second one. He looked like crap. He got knocked out. This one, I'm taking Fury by knockout, minus 110. Saturday night, T-Mobile Arena. You know, maybe we'll have more clarity talking to Tyson in a few minutes, but I bet he's going to say he's going to win. I just have a hunch he's going to pick himself. Neither's fought in 19 months. The last fight was against each other. Those are critical months. We have no idea what's showing up, right? And maybe you should wait till the weigh-in to see what's going on. But both added 20 pounds for the second fight, not including a ridiculous costume, which added another 20 pounds for Wilder that he complained about. They don't like each other, these two. Wilder called Fury an effing cheater a couple days ago. Like I said, I can't get on the right side of this. But if you trust that both are training and are at their best, I think it's a bad matchup for Wilder. Fury just has it. He knows how to clench. He knows how to close off his power. He leans on him. He tires him out. Eventually puts him out on the canvas. I don't know what round. I think he knocks him out. I'm taking minus 110. And you know what? Sign him up for another three fights because there's not really nothing else to see in the heavyweight division. I'm sick of Joshua and anyone else who's been pretending. Parlay Kid, jump on. I know you got to go. You going the other way, though.
Yeah, well, Sal, look, I like Fury. I think I won money on Fury in the last fight. I just need to know, and we'll find out after this interview. And I won't say it to his face, so please don't tell him I'm picking against him.
Okay.
But at the same time, I think I need to know how motivated Fury is. I think that's all it is. If he's been getting himself into shape and really training, I think he's obviously the better technical boxer. But I'm going to go with Wilder because he still has a puncher's chance, right? He has an excellent puncher's chance. I think at 250, I'll just ride with that, thinking that I think Wilder's got to be a little bit upset, a little bit motivated, maybe a little bit more motivated than Fury to win this time around. So let's go with him at plus 250. And what is he by knockout, Sal? What is Wilder by knockout?
Wilder by knockout.
Wilder by knockout. What is it at this point?
I took it off.
So did I. I was trying to come up back up with
that. You know what? I'm going to tell Fury in a few minutes. I'm going to say the Parlay Kid wants to know if you're motivated, and he's going to chase you down. He's going to find you. He's going to find you at Alfred University in the crowd, and pull you out.
That's where I will be. Saturday. I will be there this week.
That was plus 310 was a knockout.
Yeah, plus 310 for a knockout.
If Wilder wins, he's winning by knockout. So let's go. Let's take Wilder by KO, plus 310, even though I'm still a Fury fan, I must say. I'm also a fan of winning money.
I gotcha. All right, I'll explain it all to him. I don't know how he's going to take all this, but you go. You take off. I know you got to go. Brother Bri and Harry, you are arguing on opposite ends of how long this fight will go. Bri, why do you like the over?
I like the over here at 7.5. I think it's set a little bit low. You know, Fury's the type of guy. I know he looked fantastic the last time against Wilder. By the way, I think we had Wilder on the pod, didn't we, last time, right before he lost?
Right, we did.
Right before he lost that fight.
So I know, I feel a little two-faced.
This might be bad for Fury here, coming in here. Might not have luck. But yeah, Fury's not necessarily a knockout artist, you know? I think this is going to go a little bit longer. I think Wilder's going to be a little bit, I think both guys are still going to be a little bit cautious. I don't think they're necessarily in this third fight going to come out trying to knock each other's heads off early on. And I think Wilder is not going to want to get embarrassed again, similar to that second fight. I know he had a lot of excuses as to why he lost that one. But just in general, I think Fury's just not, I don't know, he's really not a knockout artist. He's a guy who goes the distance a lot in his career. So I feel like this is over 7.5.
All right. But I think I'm going to ask him, and I bet he says he's going to knock him out.
I'm sure.
Have we ever asked anyone? They're like, yeah, I'll win by decision. Nobody's ever said that in history, right?
No.
That's so funny. All right, Harry, you like the under. What leads you towards the under?
Yeah, I do like the under. By the way, also, I do like Fury at minus 350. I won't make that my pick. It's a little bit of a hefty price, but I do like under 7.5 at minus 108. Like you said, in fight number two, Wilder got knocked down to the third and the fifth, and by the seventh, it was it. So I think this is going to be similar too. I don't think he's going to have enough juice here, and I think it goes under 7.5. This might end in real early fourth or fifth.
All right, there you go. Well, let's—I don't know why we're waiting so long. Let's bring him on, Tyson Fury. All right, our guest today is the WBC and the lineal heavyweight champion of the world, and on October 9th, we will finally get the trilogy between him and Deontay Wilder, the Gypsy King himself, Tyson Fury. What's happening, Tyson?
Oh, good in the hoods. Everything's going well, and cannot wait for this fight, October 9th.
You know, I wish I don't know if you need to lose weight to make weight, but had I known you were going to be topless, I would have gone topless, and then you would have vomited, and you know, you could have maybe been down to 195 or something.
Yep, 100%.
I want to get into this. I can't wait for this fight. I imagine you can't wait for it either. You recently called Deontay Wilder, quote, a piece of shit bumfuck stick. Do you care to elaborate on that?
It is what it says on the tin. There's nothing to elaborate.
That's it, really? Okay, piece of shit. Okay. All right, yeah, I guess if I break it down, it makes sense. Now, this is the third time you fought Deontay Wilder since your first fight that ended in the draw, and then you beat him up. Has your view of him changed over the years, or is it the same as the first time you fought him?
You know, I used to respect Deontay Wilder as a man the first time we fought. But now I don't respect him. I think he's, like I said, he's just a piece of rubbish.
Is that right?
Just an excuse maker, a useless dosser.
Now, last time he blamed his loss on fatigue because the costume he wore to the ring was too heavy, which sounds like something your kid would say on Halloween. Did you laugh at this immediately? He didn't intimidate you at all, right? Coming down the aisle with that ridiculous getup.
It's all a load of nonsense. You know, I don't pay heed to what people say anyway, because I've got a lot more things I need to be doing than looking at what other people are saying, making excuses. But I have heard all the excuses. He got drugged. His suit was too heavy. I didn't have my gloves on. There was that many stuff going on in the background. It's not worth paying attention to or giving any airtime. So, yeah, it's...
And meanwhile...
disappointing, really, to say the least.
Is that what it is? But yeah, because your ring entrances are phenomenal. Like, last time you came in a throne, and you're just a pure showman. Have you put more thought into your entrances or your game plan for beating Wilder?
Yeah, it's going to be a great ring entrance this time.
Oh.
A really good one planned. I actually put more time in thinking about what my ring walk was going to be than actually...
Is that right?
...game planning Deontay Wilder.
You know, I think that would instill more confidence in me as a bettor if you're just caring about the ring. You already took care of what's in the ring. How do you get up for these fights? What do you want? Do you watch like old Mike Tyson videos? Who's your inspiration? Do you have a song you listen to?
No, you know, I just work day to day. It's what I get paid to do. It's my job. I'm motivated all the time, no matter who I fight. If I fight some guy, John Smith, in the corner, it doesn't really matter to me. It's a Tyson Fury road show. It's not about who I'm boxing. It's all about me. And that's it. You know, I go in there, do my training, go in there, do the fight, come home, get ready for another one. Life goes on.
What is the hardest thing for you to cut out when you're training? For me, it would be Chipwich sandwiches, those ice cream sandwiches with the chips. What about you?
You know, when I'm in training camp, I don't have any cravings for anything.
Is that right?
Yeah, no cravings at all. I eat 5 times a day, so I'm well fed. I never go hungry, and I don't have any cravings for anything. And even after the fight, I don't really fancy anything either. There's not much that I want to eat after the fight.
Yeah, I eat also 5 times a day, but I have cravings all the time. I'm doing something wrong. I know you talked about wanting to fight Anthony Joshua. What was your reaction to him losing to Usyk the other day? Does that bum you out, or is this like, all right, maybe I could fight Usyk for as big a payday?
You know, I got my own business to worry about. I can't worry about other people's, because Deontay Wilder is a lot more dangerous than Usyk or Joshua. You know, but shit happens in life, and it's not how we get knocked down, but it's how we get back up again and keep moving forward. So
that's right.
And that's what it is. He's got to go back home, rebuild, start again, and come back to the ring next time with a better game plan. And he'll probably still get beat. So it is what it is. What can you do? Shit happens in life. Get on with it.
Well, on with it is right. And, you know, I can make small talk all day with you, but let's get down to brass tacks here. How am I making money off of you? You're minus 350. I don't even know if you know betting odds, but you have to lay $3.50 or pounds or so. I don't know how you do it, to win $1. So that's not a fun bet just to bet on you because you're a prohibited favorite. But a first round victory is 37-1 odds. To win in 60 seconds is 80-1 odds. Is there a round I should be? Should I be focused on a singular round or a group of rounds?
You know, I think it'll go before 7 this time. You know, I got him out of there in 7 last time, and I'm expecting it to go quicker this time.
Before 7. So rounds 4 through 6 is 3-1 odds. I think you're basically saying that you toy with him a little bit, and maybe in the 4th and 5th you lay it on, and maybe he doesn't even answer the bell in the 6th.
Maybe
something
doesn't.
Like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
I love it. All right. I'm going to come back and talk to you if it doesn't happen like that. Either way, good luck, Tyson.
Thank you very
much. I appreciate
it.
Good luck, and we'll be watching.
Appreciate it.
All right, there you have it. Between 4 and 6 rounds, he says he's going to get the job done. About to lose money on another prize fighter who's promising us something. I don't know. Babyface Joel Solomon shaking his head here. But for him and for the degenerate trifecta and spaghetti and meatballs, that's another episode of Against All Odds. I'm Sal, saying so long, and happy handicapping. Na na na.